from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. My friends, we're back. Go to Cooner, jeffcooner.com, www.jeffcooner.com. The website is now up, live, and running. I am off on vacation tomorrow for 2 weeks. I'll be talking about it at the bottom of the hour. It's a very personal, very, very personal trip for me. Very emotional. Anyway, I'll talk about it, tell you why. I booked this a long time ago. So I will not be on the air for a good 2 weeks. We have big news that we're going to hope to unveil about plans to take the Cooner Show, make it nationally syndicated. There will be some big news. Go to jeffcooner.com, sign up. We will give you the information as soon as we know it via email. My friends, it was the weekend that wasn't. I mean, I went up on Saturday. We had a wonderful Tea Party rally that I attended, Southwest Pennsylvania. 7,500 people showed up. My wife, Dr. Grace Votto, she was one of the headline speakers, brought the house down. I mean, they gave her a standing ovation. She really, really hit a home run with that speech. And everybody was talking about whether Pastor Terry Jones, the head of a small church, the Dove World Outreach Center in Gainesville, Florida, would burn the Quran. And he went down Friday to meet with the Ground Zero Mosque Imam, Faisal Abdul Rauf, to see if Imam Rauf would be willing to move the Ground Zero Mosque in exchange for him not holding the Quran burning event. Well, Imam Rauf not only said no deal, he didn't even want to meet with Reverend Terry Jones. So Jones flew back to Florida on Sunday night. He permanently canceled the event. He said he's not planning to burn any Qurans anytime in the future. No Quran burning barbecues for Terry Jones. And Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf is now sticking to his guns. He's dug in his heels and he's now saying more than ever, the mosque at Ground Zero must go up. Now, some Qurans were burned on Saturday. A church in Kansas, which in fact has burned Qurans in the past, burned them again. A preacher in Tennessee burned some Qurans. But what is interesting is that the news media refused to cover either event. They refused to have cameras show the Qurans being burned, and wire services, for the most part, refused and neglected to cover it. So there was, in effect, a news blackout. However, in Australia, a professor at Queensland University tore out pages of the Bible, tore out pages of the Quran, rolled them up into sort of cigarette, and he lit them up, and he smoked them. And he was kidding around on a YouTube video what tasted better, the Bible or the Quran. That was posted on a YouTube site. It was taken down within several hours. He has now been punished by the Queensland University. He has been put on probation. The authorities at Queensland University in Australia are very unhappy with what he did. In fact, they're maybe looking to see if they can fire him. Now, look, my friends, I don't like the Bible being burned. That is my holy book. That, to me, is the Word of God. That is my sacred book. I think it's disgusting. It's offensive. It's repugnant. Especially to pretend like you're smoking drugs with it, like he's smoking a reefer, smoking a joint, as he's burning up the Bible or burning up the Quran, is to me doubly offensive. However, he has the right to do so. I believe in freedom of speech. You know, I've always said this, you have the right to be offensive. I have the right to be offended. I can attack him, criticize him in emails, in op-ed pieces, on my show. You can hold protests, you can write him letters, you can, you know, argue why the Bible should not be burnt and why it's offensive.
But I don't believe this man should now lose his job. And I certainly don't like that video or video that he cut being taken down of YouTube. I don't like that. Now you're censoring him. And the reason why it was done wasn't because the Bible was burned. It was because the Quran was burned. And what is interesting about this story, and this says everything you need to know, there was not one Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Christian, any Christian group that came out with a statement telling their members to stay calm, telling their members not to get incited. But many Muslim groups, including the leading imam in Australia, urged Muslims, do not get incited over this. Do not get enraged over this. Don't give him that kind of attention. Stay low, keep low. In other words, don't riot over the fact that he took out a couple pages of the Quran and lit it up, smoking it on a YouTube video. That's because, I hate to say it, I don't see any Catholic suicide bombers. I don't see any Orthodox Jewish hijackers. I don't see any Irish nuns or Polish priests blowing themselves up on planes. I just don't. And so when Bibles are desecrated, as they have been all over the world, to this day, in most Muslim countries, and certainly here in America, and in Australia, and in Europe, Christians don't riot. Christians don't loot. Christians don't issue fatwas on people's head and say they have to be beheaded. This man, this professor, was the leader of the atheist club at the Queensland University campus. As I pointed out last week, atheists have been burning Bibles for decades. There's no global jihad. Christians aren't running around saying, oh, our Bible's been offended, we have to kill people, because it's a genuine religion of peace. That's the difference. That's the point. Now, whatever happened to the old liberal argument, the classical liberal argument, that I disagree with what you say, but I will fight to the death to defend your right to say it? That's my position. I disagree with you desecrating my holy book and pretending to smoke it up like a joint, but I don't want you to be fired over it. I don't want it to be taken down from YouTube. I don't want you to be censored. You have the right to do it, as I have the right to be offended by it and to criticize you for doing it. But this is no longer the world that we live in. The world that we now live in, my friends, is the Islamicization of Europe and increasingly the Islamicization of America. And so, while this Queensland University professor is burning up Qurans and Bibles, while the Florida pastor was basically intimidated and strong-armed and threatened into not burning copies of the Quran, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf opens his mouth once again on the talk shows. Here is Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf now going on ABC's this week, saying, no, this Bible must be burned. Sorry, Bibles cannot be burned, Qurans cannot be burned, but in particular, the Ground Zero Mosque must be built. This mosque must be built, according to Imam Rauf. Ray, roll clip one, baby.
As immigrants, we absorb American culture from generation to a generation.
Yep.
But the challenge of fitting in is often made more difficult by rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Other groups and faiths have found themselves targets of such prejudice. Jews and Catholics,
yeah.
Irish and Italians,
mm-hmm.
Blacks and Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
In time, each group has overcome these challenges and our core values have been affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
We must overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is our turn as Muslims
mm-hmm.
to drink from this cup.
Mm-hmm. He's leading a Muslim civil rights movement. That's what Martin Luther, we shall overcome, we must overcome. That's straight from Martin Luther King Jr. Now he's appropriating the African American civil rights movement. Now they're facing segregation. That's the whole point. That's what he's intimating at. It's Jim Crow for Muslims in America because of wanting to build the Ground Zero Mosque. That's right, you can't. If we can't build this mosque, hey, just as Catholics were discriminated against, blacks were discriminated against, the Irish were discriminated against, we're now being discriminated against. Tell me, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, if Muslims are so discriminated against in America, tell me, why is profiling forbidden at most airports? Why? Most of the hijackers, most terrorists, tend to be Muslim. Sorry, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, that's just a fact. Most of them come from the Middle East. Sorry, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, yet profiling is not allowed. Why is it that Islam, Islamic extremism, jihadism, Muslim terrorism has been expunged from every national security document? You can't even mention it. Why are there over 1,200 mosques in America? Why are there over 100 in New York City alone? If there is such anti-Muslim fervor, such Islamophobia, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, tell me. Tell me, how do you explain all this? That Muslims occupy top income levels, top education levels, they're in the professions, they're in the universities, they're in government, they're in corporations, they're everywhere. They're one of the most successful immigrant groups in America. Tell me if there's such discrimination. Because according to my understanding of the Old South, according to my understanding of blacks under Jim Crow and segregation, they weren't running corporations. They weren't teaching classes. They weren't in academia. They weren't in government. They weren't in the top institutions of America, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf. Tell me, are Muslims being denied the right to vote? Are Muslims being lynched? Are Muslims denied sitting at the public lunch counter, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf? Look at what a shyster and a liar he is. Oh, is he slick. He knows how to make the West feel guilty. And notice the game that they play. I mentioned this to Ray before we got on the air. I said, notice this. 19 Muslim hijackers take over 4 planes and slam them into buildings, killing 3,000 Americans. They're waging jihad all over the Middle East. Christians, Jews, moderate Muslims are all being slaughtered in their wake. They're assaulting us. They're waging war on us. And they're the victims. Look at the racket this guy's running. And they're the victims. I love these guys. I swear. Sharia law is spreading everywhere. No, they're the victims. He wants to espouse Sharia law right there in that mosque. He's a victim. He defends Hamas. He's a victim. He says we had the September 11 attacks coming to us. He's a victim. He supports the Iranian fascist revolution. He's a victim. He supports the most radical extremists all over the world. No. He's a moderate mainstream guy. He's the victim. He's the victim because they can't have a victory mosque at the site of 9/11. No, he's a victim. If we can't have our mosque, no, it's the greatest form of racism you've ever seen. Hey, we just want to be like you. We just want to be in the mainstream. Hey, come on now. We're as American as the pilgrims. We just want our piece of the American apple pie. If that's the case, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, then why don't you have the Constitution and your American identity trump your Muslim cultural heritage? Why don't you say, you know what? This is offensive to the fallen, to their memory, to the families of the 9/11 victims, to most people in New York, to most Americans, hell, to most Muslims around the world and in this country. Instead, you're playing a very dangerous game, sir. And mark my words, keep playing that game. You think you're conning us, but all you're doing is showing to us what an anti-American radical you are. We have much more on Faisal Abdul Rauf and his plan to Islamicize America right after the break on The Cooner Show. 301-984-9570. You're listening to The Last Honest Man in Washington.
Are you a Cooner Tuner? Call Cooner now. Let your voice be heard. 301-984-9570. 301-984-9570. It's Cooner time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Or you can go to jeffcooner.com, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R. Stay tuned. I'm off to Europe for a couple of weeks. I'll be talking about that right after the break, after the bottom of the hour. But we will have some news regarding the future of the Cooner Show and our plans for national syndication. All you have to do is go to jeffcooner.com and stay tuned, my friends. You will get more information as we know it. Well, here's Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf saying, not only is Islam as American as apple pie, but now that Ground Zero mosque, look at the signal it's going to send if it's not built. Ray, roll it, baby.
Of the past few weeks have really saddened me to my very core.
Oh, yeah.
I regret that some have misunderstood our intentions. I'm deeply distressed that in this heated political season, some have exploited this issue for their own agendas.
Yeah.
And I'm deeply disappointed that so many of the arguments have been based on deliberate misinformation and harmful stereotypes.
He's not a very happy imam. He's very sad to see all these harmful stereotypes that are out there. He's trying to be the voice of reason. Why would people be upset that a radical imam who supports Sharia law and defends terrorists and said we had it coming on 9/11 should want to build a 13-story mosque and Islamic cultural center right at the site of Ground Zero, 600 feet away, two blocks away? He doesn't understand. He's hurt. He's very badly hurt. Very badly hurt. I wanted this to be a symbol of interfaith understanding. I wanted this to bring about healing and reconciliation. But the 70% of New Yorkers and Americans who oppose it, why do you oppose it? I'm not going to let go. I can't let go. There's going to be terrorist actions all over the world now if I don't build this mosque. Why are you putting me in this situation? Why are you doing this to me? Why? I don't understand this. I just want everybody to drink goat milk and have some pita bread. That's all. A little bit of baklava. That's all. And we pray five times a day. What's the problem? What's the problem? We as American as mom and apple pie. We are American. You don't understand. Many Muslims were there with the pilgrims on the Mayflower. We came off. You think they were Christians? No, that's a Jewish lie. Jewish lie. Spread by the Zionists. Zionist dogs. Propaganda. Big propaganda. No, Muslims were there from the beginning. America is a Muslim state. Your own president said that when he went to Cairo. He said, America is a Muslim nation. What's wrong with you? Now we can't build mosque at Ground Zero. I don't understand. My friends, this guy is now trying to claim that somehow, if he can, by him not being allowed to violate our sacred hallowed ground, by him profoundly profaning the American national memory of 9/11, that somehow this is an act of racism. We cannot burn the Quran. That's offensive. You cannot implicate Islam in any way, shape, or form with the 9/11 attacks. That's racism. If you oppose Sharia law, that's racism. If you support Israel in the struggle against the Palestinians, that's racism. But, if you oppose the Ground Zero Mosque, you can't do that. Look at what a hypocrite he is. And what I find amazing is that the liberal mainstream media allows him to play on their guilt. And so the question I have for you is a simple one. Do you think Imam Rauf's PR offensive is going to work? Is he going to play upon liberal guilt? And will that work? 301-984-9570. Let's go to our good buddy, Mike in Washington, D.C. Mike, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, Mike?
Oh, let me try to get this thing off speaker. Hang on a second, Jeff. Golly. I'm there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mike.
First, welcome back.
Thanks, my friend.
Second, if you go nationwide, and I know you're going to go nationwide, and I wish you well, I hope you never, ever, ever get the call screeners and people who answer the phones like these other guys. Okay? They make you wait. They come back every 10 minutes. Hold on. Right after the break. Hold on. Right after the break. I tried to call in for 9/11 special. Couldn't get through to you on the Savage Show. Thank you, Ray, for being who you are. Now let's get back to the Faisal. I watched all the foreign networks, Jeff. They played it up like it was Obama running for re-election. It was all about change. We got to go with the flow. And the funny part was, and it wasn't funny in a way it was sad, on Russia TV, they had that explosion. They had the nerve to get on the TV and say, look at these Americans, how biased and racist they are, picking on Muslims about a mosque just right downtown New York. The whole world is playing this out like we're the bad guys, Jeff. Thank you for being on radio.
Thank you, my friend. Look, it's a Muslim PR offensive in tandem with Obama, and if you notice, it's all based on the hatred of America. America as the racist country in the world. America, the evil Satan. My friends, the radical left and Muslim fundamentalists are in an unholy alliance, and you are seeing it. Class A example, the Ground Zero Mosque. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. We'll be right back after the break.
Now, we're back to the Jeff Cooner Show. Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT. The last honest man in Washington. Go to jeffcooner.com. We have our personal website. It is now up and running and live. K-U-H-N-E-R. jeffcooner.com. My friends, tomorrow I am leaving to Croatia for 2 weeks. We'll be coming back, I believe, September 28th. We should have news then about our plans to be nationally syndicated. Go to jeffcooner.com and you will get the latest information. We may be moving time slots, so stay, just watch that website, and believe me, we'll give you all the latest updates. We planned, actually Grace and I planned this vacation many months ago. I've been in contact with my mother's family members, really ever since my mother died. We've been in contact ever since my mother was, throughout my mother's life, but I kind of lost contact with many of them for many years as I was here in Washington, D.C. And in November 2008, may God rest her soul, my mother passed away. She died of a long battle with pancreatic cancer. It robbed her of her strength. It robbed her of her health. It robbed her of her dignity. But it never robbed her of her spirit. And she fought the disease with everything she had. And now I'm going back to the country that my mother was born. My mother and my father were born next to one another in two villages, right beside each other. They knew each other when they were 5 years old. They played together. They grew up together. And when things got too harsh under communism, my father and my grandfather were forced out. I've mentioned this story many times before. My grandfather spent 3 years in a communist concentration camp. They murdered most members of his family, including his brothers and his sisters. Yet miraculously, my grandfather survived, and he took my father with him, along with members of his own family. And they moved to Canada. There, my grandfather found a certain amount of peace. My father, when he hit about 22, 23, was looking to get married. That's how it was in those days. And he realized that my mother was still unmarried. My mother was then in her early 20s as well. And so they began writing to each other. And they said, hey, do you remember me from the village? I was the boy you used to play with. And she said, yes, yes. And they began a letter exchange. And my father then went back to the land that expelled him and expelled his father. The land that was then under communist Yugoslavia. The land that had confiscated their homes, their property. That had murdered most of my father's uncles and aunts. And there he met my mother in the village. And they fell in love within a couple of weeks. They had a wedding ceremony. My father, in fact, he didn't have any money then. They were both so poor. He literally bought the local equivalent of a lifesaver. And he put the candy on her finger to marry her when they exchanged vows. And he took her to Canada. And there they built a life together. And they had me. They had my younger sister, Jennifer. And they always dreamed of eventually retiring. They wanted to go back to the land that they came from. Croatia had waged a successful war for independence in the 1990s. They had freed themselves from the shackles of communism.
And my father and my mother saved and scrimped. And they actually managed to build a house there on the sea. Beautiful. On the Adriatic Sea. It neighbors Italy and Austria. It is one of the most beautiful places on earth. It truly is God's paradise. And my father's dream was to retire there, to go back. As he said to me, son, this is your land here, but my land is what I left. It is in my heart. It is in my soul. It is where I was forcibly stripped away and pushed out from. And I want to return there, and I want to die there, and I want to be buried there. And so does your mother. Take me back to where I belong. Take me back to my home. And that dream, my friends, never materialized. My father is still alive. He's now 68. They were married for over 40 years, 45 years, in fact, to be specific. He's never been the same man since my mother passed away in November 2008. He is really a shadow of his former self. And why am I going back? Because my mother's family has a plot of land in a cemetery in her village that she was born, where some of her sisters have already passed away. It is for her family. And there they are all buried. And there are pictures of them there. And so I am going back with my mother's picture. I am going back at her burial site there. They want to put a burial site for her there, beside her brothers and her sisters, so when everybody eventually passes away, the whole family will be beside each other. I am also there to visit my aunt. She's my mother's older sister. She's now ISM. She endured the war of the Balkan Wars of the 1990s. She still lives in the same village that she was born, that my mother was born. I send her money whenever I can. And let me just tell you how much my aunt, her sacrifices mean to me. Her house was bombarded by the Serb, by the Serbs and by the Yugoslav National Army during Croatia's war for independence in 1991. You can still see the bullet holes in her house to this day. She lost her husband. She lost many of her relatives. She lives alone. She receives a meager pension check in a very poor former communist country. And yet, she loved her sister so much. She loved my mother so much. Every Sunday, on her dime, remember, she maybe makes $200 a month. She barely scrimps by. She would call my mother as she battled cancer for the full 5 years, every Sunday, every week, on her dime, to see how my mother was doing. She was the first one to call after my mother passed away. And I said to her in that phone call, you have no idea. Her name is Ljuba. It's a Croatian name. I call her Aunt Ljuba. I said, Aunt Ljuba, you have no idea how much your love, how much your support, how much your sympathy for my mother meant to my mother. You were there for the full 5 years. You prayed for her, you talked to her, you encouraged her, you loved her. You sustained her. You gave her comfort and love in her time of need. And I will never forget you. I'm not that kind of a man. I will remember what you did for my mother for the rest of my life. And I said, I want you to know this. If you need food, if you need medicine, anything you need, I want you to ask me and I will give it to you. And I told my wife, I don't care if we don't go out to eat. I don't care if we don't go on vacation. I don't care if we don't have all the other little extras in life, but I want a regular check sent to my aunt until she passes away. That is my word of honor to her. That is the only way I can repay her. And so I will be seeing her. She's very ill. I frankly want to see her before she passes away. Her sons have told me she's not in good condition. Her health is very poor. They said, Jeff, if you don't come this year, we don't know if she'll be around next year. We really don't. So I am going to see her, and I am going to bring my picture to the cemetery at my mom's burial site in her village of Croatia. I am returning to my family's roots. I am there to honor my mother. And my friends, let me just tell you all of this. Let me just tell you this. when everything is said and done about life, I'm now 40 years old, actually 41. You don't remember which job you got when. You don't remember whether you got that raise or you didn't get that raise. You don't remember what television show you watched or didn't watch. When I was with my mother at the end of her life, the only question she asked me was, Jeffrey, was I a good mother? Was I good to you? I can see the light now, and I'm going to go to the other side. And what haunts me, what bothers me, what I need to know is, was I a good mother to you? Did I love you? And I said, Ma, you were a great mother. You loved me with all of your heart. You left your homeland to come and give me a better life. And you gave me a much better life. And what saddens me is that your tragedy, your suffering, your misery ended up being my benefit. Because I ended up living in a much better country, in a much better society, in a much freer society. And that is why, my friends, I want to say this to all of you. You have no idea how precious, how beautiful, how special it is to be an American. We have our freedoms that we take for granted. We have our prosperity that we take for granted. We have a civility and a gentleness and a peacefulness of life that most people around the world envy and would give their last penny. They would literally cut off their fingers to come here. This is what we have. This is what we must protect, what we must cherish, and we must defend always. So tomorrow I'm off to Croatia for 2 weeks to see my family, to bring the picture of my mother back to her burial plot in her family cemetery. And I just want to say this because I know my mother is watching. Ma, I hope I've made you proud. I've always spoken truth to power. I've always tried to be a good son to you, to love you, to love Daddy, to love my family. And I want you to know that I'm going back as a loving son and that you will always live in my heart forever. I'm going to go past your mountains, past your roads, into your village where you came from. Because where you came from was where in many ways I came from. And for that, I thank you. Ray, roll it, baby.
Shenandoah River. Life is older, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington, 301-984-9570. We are now joined by the great speaker herself, Dr. Grace Vuoto, the executive director of the Edmund Burke Institute and one of the headline speakers at the Pennsylvania Tea Party rally that we went to on Friday. Dr. Grace, you lit them on fire.
Thank you very much, Jeff. It was such a pleasure to speak to the Tea Party Patriots. I had a blast, would love to do it over and over again just to help bring this administration down. But I want to say, Jeff, I really, really thank you for all the support you gave on a Saturday, driving 4 hours all the way up there, supporting me throughout the speech, being there, then driving 4 hours all the way back. I mean, you truly live the values that you preach.
Oh, thank
and
you,
I really, really thank you for that.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. I got to tell you, though, you want to talk about nailing the administration to a cross. Ay, ay, ay. You ripped them to pieces.
Well, Well, I think I'm just expressing what many, many, many Americans feel, and that's why I got the positive reaction that I got. It's because we share the absolute disgust and anger at this administration and a feeling that if we don't act, a sense of urgency, if we don't act, if we don't speak, he's taking the country right down the toilet.
Dr. Grace, we got a lot of people on the line. Let's take a couple of calls before you and I head off on our 2-week vacation to Europe.
Yes, and before you take the calls, I just want to say to members of the Cooner Country, we get a lot of emails from all of you saying how much you enjoy the show, how much you enjoy my commentary and that of Jeff. And I just want to say to every single one of you, it's not so much that you have found us, but also remember, we have found you. We have worked in this city for about a decade in relative obscurity, fighting the powers that be, fighting the corruption and rot in this city, and fighting it even within the conservative movement. And it's as much a relief to us that you exist as it is to you that we exist.
Oh, amen. Amen.
So please remember that we are a team, we are a community, we love you, and we thank you both so much for all
go
the support
to,
you've given us.
Please, go to jeffcooner.com, K-U-H-N-E-R, and we will have news for you on our plans to be nationally syndicated. And it looks like we will have a change in time slot, but that's a good thing. Let's go to Tom in Florida on line one. Tom, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Ray, Jeff, Ray, Dr. Grace, greetings from the nature coast of Florida.
How are you, Tom?
Oh, it's beautiful here. I'm fine. Jeff, the website is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. I think it has a touch of Tom in New Jersey, red, white, and blue dynamite, baby. That's his line. I can't take it away. And, Jeff, I wish you continued success. I just want to say, you know, I listened to your very first show in November 2009. Do you remember the old times, Lunchtimes with Jeff Cooner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the name then, Tom.
Yeah, and it's been a great, we look forward to the continued success here, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Hey, Tom, I just want to say how much I appreciate the support that you have given. Tom, you're always there for us, everything we need for the show. You truly are the number one.
You volunteer your time, Tom, to help promote the show, and I got to tell you, from Dr. Grace, from myself, and from Ray, a big thank you. You're part of the Cooner family, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. And Dr. Grace, it's wonderful to speak to you again.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
God bless you, Tom. Let's take one more call. Let's go to Ralph in Waldorf on line three. Ralph, welcome to the Cooner Show.
JK, what do you say, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ralph?
Jay, I just got to get this off my chest, man. I know you guys have really been on point with the situation with the imam. Let me just tell you, this is the underlying reason what's happening, okay? The answer is very simple. They will be successful only on one reason, because they are dealing with a community of cowards, okay? And as long as these individual liberals stand in the way in front of Americans who are willing to fight against them, we're going to lose this, okay? So my suggestion to these people out there who continue to kowtow and capitulate to these individuals, get out of the way. God bless you. Have a safe trip, man. We love you, man.
Thank you, Ralph. God bless you, my friend. Look, Ralph, what I can tell all of you is this. Dr. Grace and I and Ray are going to continue to fight. We believe in God, country, and family. We know what the stakes are. And my friends, come this November, the destiny of this country will be decided. Will we be a European-style, secular, socialist country, or will we remain a free republic under the eyes of God? That is the question. My friends, it's the most important question. This is the most important election in our lifetime. Do we choose slavery or freedom? Ray, before Grace and I leave, I just want to thank you, my buddy, for everything.
Pleasure is all mine, Cooner.
Ray, I've seen you grow as a man in front of my very eyes. And it's not just that you're a phenomenal producer. You're just an incredible human being. Your devotion to your mother, your devotion to your family, your qualities as a friend in every way, shape, or form. Ray, you truly are the hope of this country, and for this I thank you, my buddy.
You got it, boss. It's been an honor to serve with you, and we're going to keep moving forward as the year goes on, and hopefully with this election it's going to be good to see what happens. I mean, I can't wait, Cooner.
Dr. Grace, you're my strength. You're my rock, baby.
And you are mine, and I am so, so proud of everything that you've done, Jeff. You truly are, as I say to you in many of the emails that I send you, you're a Christian warrior. You've proven it with this show. And to all the members of the Cooner Country, thank you so, so much for all your love and support. We look forward to working with you some more.
Thank you, Dr. Grace. Ray, thank you once again, members of the Cooner Country. I love you. May God bless you, and may God bless the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. This is Jeff Cooner, the last honest man in Washington.